Well, brothers and sisters, if you took note of the words that we're singing today about strength in Christ, His power, about grace for living our lives, really, we've heard the message already in song today. It is powerful to abide in Christ and to see His life flowing through ours. Let's ask God's help as we come to the Word. You might like to be turning in your Bibles to Philippians 4 and have your handout ready. There's certainly some verses on that sheet that we'll be using today. You might like to be following along. We have been doing a series called Insights for Living in the book of Philippians, and the title of this morning's message is Through Christ. Let's ask God's help. Dear Lord Jesus, we come to You today for, as we've just sung, any good in us is by grace alone. Anything we're able to do for the glory of God is by grace alone. And Lord, You do empower us to live the life, the Christian life. So we pray, Lord, as we meditate on this particular verse today, we might leave here encouraged that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and that we might be challenged to take further steps in our Christian lives also. We pray it because we love the Lord Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Liz's marriage was in trouble. She had isolated her adult children by her controlling ways. She was 50 kilograms overweight. She had sleep problems. She was failing at work. And now she was feeling depressed. She began working through the principles in Philippians chapter 4. And within 4 short months, she found that she was now back to a vibrant walk with God. She had much ground yet to cover, but she had also made a great deal of progress as well. When she was asked what she would tell someone who had similar problems to her, this is what she wrote. If someone came to me with similar problems that I've had, I believe I would direct them to understanding that God is not in their picture. Although I'd heard many messages, prayed, spent time with God, and at times had glimpses of this wonderful walk, it never lasted long enough for me to really be alive to me. I did not see that my discontent in life was really an unbelief in God. God broke my heart about this and showed me my sinfulness. This was first and foremost. I was so self-focused, she writes. I saw nothing else. I had to repent first of my sin of discontent. I had to relinquish control of what I thought worked to allow the One who works all things together for good to be working in my life. Brothers and sisters, we need to know that there is no mere emotional response that the Bible cannot help with. Or to put that another way, we need to know that the Bible can help with any emotional response that we have. We must not begin to think that our situation is hopeless. We must not minimize God. We must have a very high and thorough view of God. And we must not allow our Christian lives to drift. We have reached a critical verse in our study of Philippians. So I'd like to kind of give you the thought flow from chapter 3 into chapter 4 to see why Paul is saying the things he says. Thinking of his achievements, first of all, in Philippians 3 and verse 8, Paul says, "Yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord." He had achieved much, but they were loss. Rather, Paul would know Christ. For Paul, knowing Christ intimately was the key to the whole Christian life. And therefore he says in verse 10 of Philippians 3, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable even unto His death." But knowing Christ and growing in Christ is not instant. Obviously, growing in Christ is a process. And we read in verse 12 of chapter 3, Paul saying, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected." Paul realized he hadn't made it yet. Yes, there are things in our lives that need to be dealt with so that we're not hindered from experiencing the fullness of the Christian life. things that hold us back in our journey to Christ. Indeed, verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." So Paul says, I had to deal with those things in the past. It's forgetting in the sense of dealing with, working through, so that the things in my past don't hold me back in any way in my walk in the present. Paul says, yeah, you need to do the same as I did. Verse 17, "Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern." So we're in this process of getting to know Christ, of becoming like Christ. And sometimes when we fall, especially when we go through hard times, we're discouraged. But be encouraged. One day we're going to be like him. Verse 21 of chapter 3 says, "Who will transform our lowly body, that may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." One day, when he returns, he will make us like himself. And since we have this hope, keep going. Stand fast in your Christian walk. That's what chapter 4 and verse 1 says. "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved." And then Paul goes on, as we've been seeing in the last 6 months, ways that we can stand fast in the Lord. We can sort out our differences, verses 2 to 3. We can rejoice in the Lord, verse 4. We can learn to live gently, verse 5. We can experience his peace, verses 6 and 7. You can experience joy, gentleness and peace through meditating on God and the things of God. That's what verse 8 says. Brent read this morning. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report," and here's the summary, "if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." And we saw that what Paul is talking about there is God and the things of God. Meditate on these things. And you can experience contentment, whether you're on a mountain peak in life or whether you're in a dark valley, in a dark tunnel where you cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel. You can be content. Verse 11 says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." So how can Paul reach that state of being content in every circumstance of life? I know I miss it many times, and I'm sure that is true of all of us. How can he do this? Well, the answer is in verse 13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I can be abased, I can be abound, I can be content through Christ who strengthens me. Now, let me summarize that thought flow there for you. Paul begins this whole section on mature Christian experience with Philippians 3 and verse 10, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." And then he underlines knowing God in verse 8 by saying that we need to meditate on God and the things of God. And he bookends the whole section in verse 13 by saying, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Philippians 4 and verse 13 is a critical verse. And as we look at this verse today, I want to make three applications to our lives from that verse. Three applications that will enable us to experience the fullness of the Christian life. To experience a fullness of Christian living, the first application from Philippians 4 and verse 13 is get to know Christ's power. Get to know Christ's power. Now, we don't encourage each other by telling each other good things about ourselves. We encourage each other by telling each other good things about our God. They are real and they really help us. Verse 13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us." There's a truth about our Savior. He strengthens us. Focus on the word "who strengthens me." It is Christ who empowers me to have the joy and the gentleness and the peace that Paul has been talking about in the first 8 verses of Philippians 4. It is Christ who empowers me or enables me to have the contentment that he talks about in verses 11 and 12. This section started, as I said, with Philippians 3 and verse 10, that I may know him. And then Paul reminds us to concentrate on God, to meditate on God and the things of God in Philippians 4 and verse 8. And now Paul wants us to remind us specifically of God's power. As we focus on God, let's particularly focus on his power, resurrection power. Resurrection power, brothers and sisters, is ultimate power. The atom bomb has great power, but it is destructive power. The power that gives life to the dead is not only greater than the atom bomb or atomic power in general, but is of a different sort to all together. It is a power that gives life. And certainly that power is enough to live the Christian life. Now, it is this same power that Paul prayed for the Ephesians. We read in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees, in other words, he's praying, to the Father, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. And he adds, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Paul prayed that the Ephesians would experience his power. And that's a prayer that we can pray for each other too. Just, it is just this strength, this power that enables us to have good emotional responses. Colossians 1 and verse 11 says, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power. Why? For all patience and long-suffering with joy. We can be patient, a fruit of the Spirit. We can have joy, a fruit of the Spirit, through his power that is working in us. And similarly, Isaiah 41 and verse 10 says, fear not, I am with you. We can have peace. We don't have to have anxiety. Be not dismayed, it says, for I am your God. How does this work? I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God gives us the power to experience his peace. We do not fear just because our God is so powerful and he enables us to have the victory. Just consider what our God is able to do. He is able to make all grace abound toward us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. He is able to keep his promise. Abraham knew that God was able to keep his promises, and we read in Romans chapter 4 and verse 20, he, Abraham, did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, being fully convinced that what he, the Lord, had promised, he was able to perform. God is able to keep his promises. God is able to make all grace to continuously abound toward us so we have an abundance for every good work. God is able to give victory over sin. Jude 24 says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Our God is able to do all these things. So consider how great, how powerful our God is. He is the one who flung the stars into space, as Isaiah observes in Isaiah 40 and verse 26. Lift your eyes up on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Consider how great our God is, who has such great power. Isaiah also adds in 40 and verse 12, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in the balance. Our amazing God has all power. And certainly our Savior is the one, not only the Creator, but it's by his power that every atom holds together, that our bodies hold together, that our hearts continue beating. Colossians 1 and verse 17 says, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. They exist because he holds them together. Our God is in control of everything. Psalm 103 verse 19 says, he has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. The whole Bible describes the greatness and the glory and the power of our God. Please be awed by this power, because when we're awed by this power, we'll be very aware of His power available to our lives. Growth occurs as we get to know our God. At the carols, a bloke told me he was reading through the Bible in a year. I asked, what's your impression? What is the thing that jumps out at you when you read through the Bible in a year? And he said something I had never heard before. He said, you get a hologram of God. Do you know what a hologram is? It's a 3D image. It has depth. No matter which angle you look at from, you see the 3D image. When you read the Bible in a year, you see God in depth. You get a full picture of God, and that's a good thing to do. Liz also found that she needed to know God well. She writes, I'm learning that He is the one in control. I'm learning that He gives peace that I cannot conjure up on my own. I used to live a life of trying to do right without any repentance, and it didn't work. Before, I did not read my Bible, except on occasion. I did not think on the truths that I learned in church or in a message. Today, I ponder them, think on them, and try to learn more so that I can know this God that I barely knew before. The God I knew then was heavy-handed and ready to pounce on me at any time. The God I'm beginning to know loves me, is kind to me, and continually is showing me new things. So we've emphasized over the last 6 months, get to know God and get to know Him well. Meditate on the Lord and the things of God. Know that He is enough for all the circumstances of life. I don't know your circumstances, but I know God is enough for the circumstances of life. How do we get to know Him? Well, one way is through church attendance, which, by the way, is a command in Scripture, and that will help us to get to know God better. Another way is reading the Scripture, God's autobiography. That will help us to get to know Him well. But what we learn in church and what we read in the Bible somehow tends to get lost in the warp and woof of life, in those dark tunnels, in the situations where we feel panic, or in the situations where our buttons are being pressed and we explode in anger. To focus on who God is, we have to learn the Scripture, not just read the Scripture. We have to learn it. And no more than that, we have to overlearn the Scripture. If I were to snap my finger, we should be able to rattle those verses off that are going to help us the most. Verses like Jeremiah 29:11, which talks about His good plans for us. Verses like 2 Corinthians 9:8, which we just read, talking about His grace abounding toward us. Verses like Psalm 103:19, that God is in control of my life. We need to know those verses so that they're at top of our minds, and when we're going through those difficult times, they are there at the top of our minds. Please know Christ's power for your life. Even as I was in my study and writing these words, which, by the way, was well before Christmas. I didn't have time last night to put this together. But even as I wrote those words, an email came in from Jeff and Ann Seafi. Ann Seafi is battling pancreatic cancer, and the battle's not going well. Regarding her recent hospital admission, Jeff wrote, day after day, other patients with more pressing needs took priority, and she finally had the procedure on Thursday. They cleared the blockage to the bile duct stent and placed an additional stent within the duodenum. The past 2 weeks have been a difficult time as we've come to terms with the reality of this dreaded disease. However, we feel comforted and loved by your continued support, prayers, and well wishes. And then the email quoted, in this dark time in their lives, it quoted Philippians 4 and verses 6 to 7. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And God will give you that peace that passes all understanding. Yes, we can experience the peace of God if we know well the God to whom we pray. Please know Christ's power in your life. To experience the fullness of the Christian life, the second application from Philippians 14 is abide in Christ. Verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So concentrate on those words, through Christ. Some translations say in Christ. A very little translation would be, I am strong for everything in the one empowering me, Christ. So the emphasis is on Christ and the empowering. It's through him. Certainly we need to know Christ well, especially we need to learn the word of God well for our lives. But the power comes through relationship with the living God. The more we depend on him, the more of his power we can experience. Paul explains more fully to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Concerning this thorn, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, or he could have said, when I know I am weak, then I am strong. When I realize my weakness and depend on him, then I can be strong in his strength, not strong in my own strength. To find the fullness of Christian experience, certainly get to know the scriptures, learn them, overlearn them so they're at the top of your mind for those difficult times in life. But secondly, abiding in Christ is absolutely essential. Over the years, I've come to see abiding in Christ, knowing that I need to depend on him for everything, as a central and secret part of the Christian life. The Lord Jesus sees it that way too. So much so that it was one of the last lessons that he gave his disciples. On the very night before he died, he said these words in John 15 and verse 1. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. That's the unsaved person. He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, that's the Christian, he prunes. By the way, pruning is hurtful, but he's seeking to get more fruit, isn't he? He prunes that it may bear more fruit. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Nothing of spiritual worth. Just as a branch has the sap flow into it from the vine, so the life of the Lord Jesus needs to be flowing into each of our lives. Without drawing his power and grace, his joy, his gentleness and his peace, we have nothing and can do nothing spiritually. All true ministry and growth occurs when it is Jesus through us. When we are peacemakers, it is through Jesus Christ. When we are joyful, it is through the Lord. When we are gentle, it's the life of the Lord Jesus in us. I'm not naturally gentle. If you see me gentle, that's the life of the Lord Jesus in me. When we experience peace, it's from our Savior. When we are content, it's because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through Christ. He is the vine. We are the branches. The fruit that we bear is his fruit. When we're broken, it's a good thing because we see our need. We draw close and we depend on him. And then the life of the vine can be flowing through ours. Mary E. Maxwell apparently understood abiding in Christ. And she wrote these words. You'll recognize them. How I praise you, precious Savior, that your love laid hold of me. You have saved and cleansed and filled me that I might your channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all your wondrous power flowing through us, you can use us every day and every hour. Emptied that you should fill me, a clean vessel in your hand. with no power, but as you give graciously with each command. Jesus, fill now with your Spirit hearts that full surrender know, that the streams of living water from our inner self may flow. They're beautiful words to describe the fullness of the Christian life. And so I expected to find a very good story about Mary E. Maxwell. I looked up all my books on hymn history that I had. There was not a word. I Googled her. There were, from all the hymn sites, the hymn sites, there was not a word about her. There was not a word on Wikipedia. There was nothing about Mary E. Maxwell except she wrote that hymn. As I thought about that, I thought, how appropriate. Mary E. Maxwell is unknown, but he was able to work through her as a channel to write those words about our Saviour to help us. And you and I are merely channels. That is, if we're abiding in the Master and bearing his fruit in our lives. If we are broken and if we depend entirely on him, it is then that we experience his strength, his grace, his power, his joy, his peace, anything that is needed to live the Christian life. And seeking to help others, Liz again writes these words. She says, sorrow never drove me to him before. It drove me to despair. Frustration ran deep. I felt unstable most of the time and worried constantly. I lived a life of what ifs and questioned everything. I tried to live the Christian life without God in the picture. Now I talk to him and he talks back in his word. When I read the word, it becomes real to me and he turns on the lights in a way I never knew before. So Liz has begun to abide in a fullness of relationship, knowing the God she loves well. To experience the fullness of Christian living, the last application from Philippians 4 and verse 13 is, live confidently. Therefore, live confidently. Verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So let's focus on those words, I can. No more, I can't, brother and sister. I can't go through this. I can't put up with this. I can't do that. Yes, you can in Christ. If Christ has asked it of you, yes, you can, for it is then him and not us. We know God's power. We know about God's power and we draw on God's power through abiding in him, and then we find we can in him. I can means I can live confidently, of course not in self-confidence, but in confidence of God. Now, I can do isn't quite strong enough for the Greek word here. In other places, the same Greek word is translated prevailed. That's a bit stronger than can. Prevailed. So the verse might be translated, I prevailingly do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you feel the victory in that? The prevailing power in that? There is no doubt in it. I can't say can't any longer. The all things refers to anything that Christ asked me to do. And specifically the things just mentioned. Being a peacemaker. Living in joy and gentleness and peace, experiencing the contentment in the hills and the valleys of life. Yes, emphatically, prevailingly I live abiding in Christ's power. Isaiah teaches the same thing as Paul, and that's no surprise, is it? Because it's the same Holy Spirit who wrote through both. Isaiah 40 and verse 29 says, he gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You might have heard of a bloke by the name of Bill Bright. I've certainly mentioned him before. He's passed away now. He was an evangelist, a very effective personal evangelist. And he gives this very insightful testimony. He says, as a young man in uni and later in business, I was full of self-sufficiency. I believed that if a bloke put his mind to it, if he was determined, if he was willing to sacrifice and work hard, he could do anything. Then when I became a Christian, he says, the Bible introduced me to a new understanding. I began to see that man could really do nothing of worth to God in his own efforts, but must depend on God for everything. to live the Christian life. So in my desire, he says, I went from self-sufficiency to Christ-sufficiency. But even with this new desire, I still tried to do it myself. I just called it being spiritual. I resorted to all kinds of self-imposed disciplines, such as days of fasting and prayer and begging God for his power. However, the more I tried to live a victorious life, the more defeated and frustrated I became. So I'd gone from self-sufficiency to pretended Christ-sufficiency, but I was still depending on my own efforts, a carryover from my natural mindset. And then one day, he says, I was liberated reading the book of Romans. What a relief it was to me to discover that I would never be able to live the Christian life in my own efforts. But by faith, I could trust Christ to live his resurrection life through faith in the power of his Holy Spirit. In summary, he says, so now I had gone from one, total self-sufficiency as a non-Christian, to pretended Christ sufficiency as a Christian, to three, actual insufficiency through the realization I could not live the Christian life on my own efforts, to four, complete sufficiency in Christ. And then he adds, many Christians go through this cycle of growth. At last I began trusting God for his promises. Faith in God replaced my old attitude of self-sufficiency, or faith in myself, both as a non-Christian and even as a Christian. Today I realize how totally incapable I am of living the Christian life, how really weak I am in my own strength, and yet how strong I am in Christ. That's what Paul meant when he wrote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this encouraging verse. Thank you for this challenging verse. Thank you, Father, that we can. We humble ourselves before you and say, Lord, I can't. I can't anymore. I need you, Lord. I need you to live the Christian life. How many times I fall, how many times I think wrong. I need you, Lord. Help me to abide. Help me to know you well. Help me to draw close, to depend on you for everything. Lord, the best I know how, I submit my life to you and ask you to fill me. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.